Hi, I'm David Platt, and I am joined today by a good friend of mine, Conrad Prescott, who has spent the last 20 plus years of his life making the gospel known amongst the hardest to reach people in the world, in every way hard to reach. And I can't even begin to describe the influence of this brother in my life. And so I've got him on a remote connection with me right now to talk with him about what he is seeing in the world in light of this pandemic and the effects of this pandemic among the nations, and particularly as we think about the spread of the gospel among the nations. And so I'm going to ask him some questions along those lines, and then let that lead into some questions about a new initiative that Radical is launching that Conrad is leading out in. Basically, Radical is in a total relaunch. For the last 10 years, we have spent energy, time on developing resources, hosting events aimed at mobilizing Christians and churches on mission in the world. And we're going to continue to do that, but we are entering into a whole nother realm where, as opposed to just mobilizing people for the front lines of mission, we're going to the front lines of mission and identifying brothers and sisters who are serving in some of the most urgent places of need in the world, where the gospel has not gone and where people are suffering physically in many different ways. And we are getting behind those brothers and sisters on the front lines and saying, how can we work for the spread of the gospel in more of the hardest to reach places in the world? So more about that in a minute, but let me welcome Conrad to this conversation. So brother, let me ask you, obviously you and I have known each other for years, but maybe just give, for those who are meeting you for the first time, just a little bit of background on God's work by his grace in your life and the work you've been doing over the last 20 plus years.
Yeah, well, it's just great to hear your voice and get to spend this time with you today, and appreciate all that you're doing for the unreached globally. And yeah, I'm originally from the U.S., really from middle America. I grew up with very little thought of what happened outside my own little neighborhood. And let's just say, through really divine intervention many, many years ago, I found myself living outside the U.S. for over 25 years now. And for just about all that time, I've been doing my utmost, together with a great group of other people, to get the gospel into places that are just really difficult and hard to reach. And that, in most cases, have had no access to the gospel before. And these are places that have never heard of a Bible, a pastor, a church, a Christian, or they don't even know what the name of Jesus Christ is, what it means. They've never heard it before. And usually there are a variety of enormous barriers that have impeded the progress of the gospel in these areas. And those barriers can be political. They can be geographical, conflict, war, remoteness, maybe just plain persecution. And so, you know, when Christ beckons us down his path and says, follow me, I'm continuing to learn that he tends to head for the darkness, because that's where he wants to bring a great light. And that path has put me on a collision course with places like North Korea, the Middle East, Siberia, Central and South Asia, North Africa, where God is wanting to bring his message of healing, of salvation, and deliverance from sin. And that's kind of what I've been up to for the past 25 years.
I love the phrase, that's what I've been up to, making the greatest news known in the world in, yeah, really hard to reach places. Now, you are there right now. You're not back. You could be back in the United States right now, but you are in the middle of the unreached, on the front lines of urgent need. What are conditions like around you right now? And I should say, for those who are listening, we're going to be really general, and Conrad's going to be really general with the way he describes where he is because of security concerns with the work that he's doing there. So just to kind of give you a heads up, as he doesn't talk in specifics along those lines, that's the reason why. But generally, can you give us a picture just of the situation where you are right now, especially in light of this pandemic?
Yeah, I am, let's just say, right in the middle of Asia. And specifically, where I am would certainly fall into the category of the undeveloped or developing world. And just to maybe paint the picture, I'm currently surrounded by fields that have just been plowed where there's no running water and just a few hours of electricity every day. And most of the people that I'm living amongst live on just a few dollars per day. And the vast majority of people are sustenance farmers who eat what they grow and survive in some really tough and harsh conditions.
So as you think about the effects of this pandemic on those people you've been trying to reach, what goes through your mind? Help us get a picture of, I mean, there was urgent need before. Now you add this on top of that. Just how would you describe the picture around you, and especially in light of this pandemic?
Well, so many of the people that I would say live in the developing world are daily wage earners, meaning that they work in the fields or they work in a factory. And at the end of the day, they show up to their boss and he hands them cash for the day's work, and they go off and buy that evening's ingredients to cook, go home and cook dinner for their family. And I think with this pandemic that has hit the world, that has closed so many, whether it be factories or places of employment, or even restrictions that are on farmers, the suffering comes real quick, because at the end of the day, you don't have that day's wage. And you don't have what it takes to be able to put food on the table for your family. And so I think the suffering that I'm witnessing is compounded by that fact. You also take into account that there are millions of people around the world that simply just, they don't have electricity, or they don't have a refrigerator or a freezer, so they can't stock up food to make it last for weeks on end and take from that supply. They literally go to the market that's local every single day to buy what they need for that day. And when those markets are closed and when they don't have an ability to store food, things get hard real quick.
What are some, maybe even some specific stories of either people right around you or with work you've done in different places in the world and partners that we're working with via Radical, what are some ways this is playing out just in individual lives or families or churches?
Yeah, well, for at least the last 2 decades, I've been working amongst incredibly remote villages that are really cut off from modern progress and technology. In many of these places, it would take more than a week to reach by foot. And in these places, the death rate amongst children is just staggering, with in some places more than half of the children dying before they even reach their 8th birthday. And they're void of just basic essentials, with no access to education, healthcare, and certainly any form of the gospel. And yet over the last 20 years, by the grace of God, we've been able to witness some remarkable changes with schools being established and healthcare facilities born, and more importantly, churches planted with the first indigenous believers in their people groups now claiming Christ as their Savior.
You know, I remember as you were talking the first time, it was the first time you and I ever sat down together, and you shared with me the audio of a song being sung, a worship song being sung in a church. It was the first time that language had ever risen to God in a song of worship for the first time ever. That's a pretty awesome thought, pretty awesome reality, isn't it?
Well, it's honestly, it's addicting, and you chase that high for the rest of your days because of the, I think, the joy that erupts in our heart and knowing that for the first time in human history, God is receiving praise from a unique people group that were designed and engineered by Him to declare His glory. And when you can just sit back and witness that happen, I just, short of heaven itself, I can't think of any greater experience or higher high than God being magnified for the first time out of the lips and mouths of people who have never known Him. It's truly glorious.
I love that. It's addicting. And I'm so grateful for the way God has given you that addiction. I pray that it grows in me and in all who are listening right now. Even as we're talking about, okay, languages or people who've never heard the gospel. Like, I don't want to even assume, when we talk about unreached people, how do you define, understand unreached, and maybe even just give us a picture of what that looks like?
Well, sure. You know, there are billions of people on the planet right now, and those are made up of not just countries, but even if you break it down more than that, they're made up of individual ethnic groups or people groups. And when we talk about the unreached, we're describing a people group that does not have the sufficient ability within its own population, within its own people group, to propagate the gospel, to make Christ known without some kind of outside assistance or help. And that is a little bit of what defines an unreached people group, and they're unreached for a variety of reasons. Again, many times they live behind just enormous barriers that have kept them cut off from this message that certainly in the West is very prevalent. And if we wanted, we could find it at a street corner, at an intersection. We could turn on the radio or maybe the TV or find a Bible. But for these people, they've never had the opportunity to know that there is specifically a Savior, God's Son, who has come to this world to pay the penalty for their sins. Yes, they have creation in front of them and are able to see that this world was created by God, but the specific revelation of who Jesus is, that's something that God has entrusted to us as the church to make that glorious message known to the ends of the earth, and these people await messengers to come and declare who Christ is in their unique and specific people groups.
So based on that reality, tell me about the cost of getting the gospel across those barriers, things that you've witnessed in your own life, even partners that we're working with right now, when you describe the cost of getting the gospel to the unreached, what comes to your mind?
Well, when you, as I mentioned previously, when you get on this path as Christ delineates for us in Luke chapter 9, and you step across the line and say, yeah, I want to be a disciple. You set yourself on a collision course for really the impossible, that if God's not in it and leading and making it happen, then in your own human power, it's just not going to take place. But I've also found that there is a reality of God's presence, of his empowerment, that's really designed for the front lines, maybe even more than the front row of church. It's designed to come alive and enable us in that pursuit of God's glory amongst all people. But make no mistake, there is an adversary in this world who seeks to blind the minds of those, lest they should believe in their heart and hear this message. And that enemy works overtime to try to stifle and stop. And so just in my own experience, as God has allowed me to join hands with brothers and sisters around the world, I have seen martyrdom take place. I've seen intense persecution, even just recently in the last, just not too long ago, had to remaneuver and sidestep, and sometimes you just have to do a little bit of a tactical retreat, and other times you can move forward, and you just really have to be able to bend and flex, and most of all, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us that all those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So following him on the front lines it's filled with, I would guess risk is a good word, but at the same time, you get to be a front row witness of God doing just some of the most amazing things to back up his message and to show himself strong. There's really no other place I'd rather be. People have often said that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. I would beg to differ a little bit. Sometimes I've discovered that being in God's will lead you into perilous circumstances and immense challenges. But in the midst of those storms, the presence of God is so powerful. And it's a pretty amazing journey to be able to witness God work and affirm his word in so many marvelous ways. Hmm.
I love that picture, that there is an experience of God's presence on the front lines of urgent mission that is just, it's not the same, it's deeper, it's greater than, like you said, sitting on a front row, which we're not even able to do right now, sit on a front row. But that's the picture. In retreating from mission, we will be missing out on an experience of God's presence. So urgent is Radicals New Initiative saying we want to come alongside brothers and sisters who are on those front lines. But before I go any further, describe urgent in your own words.
Yeah, well, I've referred already several times to barriers, and it just might be hard for some to imagine what kind of barriers we're talking about if they've grown up in a world that has maybe been void of some of these, but let me assure you, they do exist, and they present themselves in multiple forms. Again, political barriers. Take North Korea as an example. Huge political barriers that present some real challenges in how to effectively get the gospel on the other side of those barriers and overcome them to make Christ known. You've got a place like Yemen that has conflict barriers. It's a good example of how conflict barriers can isolate a nation. Geographical barriers have made accessing remote parts of the Himalayas incredibly difficult, but specifically urgent. What I love about it is heading for the barriers. It is overcoming them. It is finding solutions around them and working in some of the world's most barrier-ridden, unreached people groups that exist. And it's joining hands with indigenous leaders that are in smart ways, not just to write a check and pat them on the back, but to come alongside with encouragement and prayer in a burden-sharing way that fuels work to make Christ known in ways that have never happened before. And that's really exactly what Urgent is accomplishing. It's really redrawing the lines on the frontiers of the gospel to advance into previously unreached people groups, to see disciples made, churches established, all while meeting the needs of those who are suffering physically and, most importantly, witnessing lives changed for eternity through the message and name of Jesus Christ.
Urgent. When people are listening and you hear urgent, just picture urgent spiritual need, which you've heard Conrad talk about, the least access to the gospel. So people in the world who have little to no knowledge of the name of Jesus or what he's done. And then picture urgent physical need when it comes to, like you've heard Conrad talk about, lack of clean water, lack of medicine, lack of food, lack of education, lack of freedom, maybe a lot of trafficking. And so wherever those two needs collide, urgent spiritual and urgent physical need, wherever they collide, like that's where we're focusing. And so Radical has identified initially 12 countries where we see this collision of urgent spiritual and physical need. Countries like, you heard, North Korea, Yemen, Afghanistan, Iran, keep going on through the list, Somalia, Syria. So, Conrad, give us a picture. And obviously, this is another area where we want to be really wise in communicating about work in these ways. So we're not going to communicate certainly names or all the specifics in any way that could be traced to what's happening. But I just say, like, there are brothers and sisters in these places who are biblically faithful and wisely going about this work and work coming alongside them. So maybe, Conrad, give us as much of a picture as possible, maybe of the way that's playing out in one or two circumstances.
Yeah. Well, it really comes down to just rolling up our sleeves and for instance, in North Korea, meeting physical needs, and as you've already said, for obvious reasons, we're just not able to talk about some of the details due to security purposes, but I think that those listening or watching can have confidence that there are tangible, effective ways that Radical has embedded itself on some of the most restrictive front lines that exist. And so it's happening in North Korea. It's happening in countries like Bhutan, where one of our workers was just recently arrested for gospel-related activities. And while he was locked away in prison, God gave him just great boldness to proclaim Christ right there behind bars and was able to witness a murderer come to faith in Christ through that opportunity. And so God is really using these workers to penetrate the toughest barriers for his glory. We're seeing this happen in the Middle East, in places like Iran, where our efforts are witnessing the Iranian underground church just explode with unprecedented growth in the form of disciples, churches that are being planted, the name of Christ being exalted in spite of the barriers that the political leaders have erected. Syria, the refugee crisis, those refugees are being cared for in real ways, even though they've been tormented and have experienced just unimaginable carnage resulting from endless conflicts. We have really rolled up our sleeves and jumped right into the pit with our brothers and sisters and caring for those precious souls in ways that that delivers critical help and at the same time introduces a message of real hope and lasting peace that can only be found in the gospel.
Yes, Mike, I want to jump out of my seat right now and just thinking about coming alongside brothers and sisters in these places, and all the more so in light of this pandemic. As you're talking, I just think about North Korea, and none of us really knows the effects of this pandemic in North Korea, but Iran, we've heard a lot about. So to know that there are brothers and sisters in these countries and the others that we've mentioned and more that we haven't even mentioned who are in the middle of such physical suffering that was already there on top of a pandemic now, that are proclaiming the gospel and making it known. So when you think about encouragement to brothers and sisters in Christ in the West, specifically the United States, or just in any places where the gospel has gone and where we don't have to worry about clean water or food in the same way, or education or medical care even in the same way, what encouragement would you give to brothers and sisters who are wanting their lives to count in a world of urgent need and by God's grace have both the gospel and so many different resources physically that God has provided?
Well, it's a great question. I think we can all start wherever we are by getting on our knees and just start praying for those around the world who live with what seems like almost no physical hope and especially no spiritual hope. And they have no hope because they live in places where the name of Christ has never been mentioned. I think about the prayer of Christ in Matthew chapter 9 that workers would be raised for the great harvest fields of this world. And maybe those that are watching or listening would be willing to even pray really dangerous prayers that ask God specifically how your life can be leveraged to join this mission. And then look for tangible ways that God will turn your prayers into new priorities in life, new decisions for your family, new ways that you spend the blessings that God has given you. Maybe go on a trip overseas or educate yourself on the needs of the world that has so little. And I think people could even prayerfully consider how they could join hands with Radical and with Urgent to partner in practical ways to meet these urgent spiritual and physical needs. I think everybody can do something, and it would be a travesty for this pandemic to come and go and we're left unchanged and just go back to the status quo or a form of Christian living that just spins its wheels in a rut of Christian self-improvement without developing God's heart for the nations and really discovering how we can spend our lives for His cause in a hurting world.
You know, as you're talking, I'm just provoked to pray that maybe even in this moment, as someone is watching this, that God, by His Spirit, might move people's hearts in ways that, are unusual, I say unusual. This is obviously the heart of God in Scripture, and as you've said numerous times, it's where Jesus leads us, but in ways that are different than people have experienced, in ways that lead people who are listening even right now to think differently, to use your words to reframe priorities in life in order to think through how we can make the greatest news in the world known on the front lines of urgent need. That's part of why I know we started praying a long time ago about doing this together in Radical, because we know there are brothers and sisters on the front lines who are taking the gospel across these barriers. We know they're not able to communicate for reasons we've talked about, security and otherwise, all that's going on. There are brothers and sisters who have the gospel who want to make a difference, so radical, trying to step in the gap to make that connection in ways that we can indeed spend ourselves for the spread of God's glory on the front lines of urgent need from wherever we are in the world in the ways that you just talked about. So may God use even this conversation to start people on that path. What would you say, especially, so during this pandemic where, people, especially in the United States, so that's where I'm sitting right now, are experiencing a variety of new challenges and new things to think through about how this can affect economy, how does this affect health? How do we keep from just focusing right around us and thinking about the effects of COVID-19 around the world? How do we make sure, how would you encourage us to make sure we have a global perspective on this pandemic?
Well, I again would just say start by getting on your knees and asking God to do some recalibration in your heart and touch you with what touches him. And it's easy for me, it's easy for all of us to get into a mode in life where our own needs seem so big and we spend most of the time just caring for ourselves. But there's something so liberating in God coming in and rearranging these priorities in our life and to really live a life that is spending all that we have for others and to be conduits of God's love in this world. And there's a residual flow and blessing that we get when God flows through our individual lives that is really unmatched if we will somehow find the ability with God's help to throw our eyes off of ourselves and put them on him. And then we find that he's busy meeting the needs of people. And if you just look at the beautiful stories that we read of in the Gospels, Christ is just always searching out people who are hurting. And that just enabled a flow to come through his life. And I'm convinced that God wants to do the same in our lives. But it comes when we accept God's priorities. And that might be a difficult process to go through, where things change in our heart, they change our decisions. I'm sure that there are husbands and wives in homes across the states who have been asking some hard questions. What happens if we don't have enough food? What happens if I lose my job? What about tomorrow? Those are real questions, but it gives us an opportunity to really turn those questions into trust in God's ability to care, provide, and enable us to not just be liberated ourselves in this life, but to really become, in a sense, freedom fighters for others who are enslaved by the enemy and see them set free by the power of God. So it starts with just an honest conversation with the Lord on your knees, saying, God, how would you redirect my life according to your purposes?
As I think about the way you describe some of those questions that people are asking, I'm struck in a fresh way by the reality that those are questions a lot of people in the world are always asking, totally irrespective of a pandemic. Like many of the people you've worked for the last 25 years to reach haven't known if food was going to be there tomorrow. Haven't known if a job was going to be there tomorrow. Haven't known if they would have sufficient medical care to address this sickness. It's by no means the exact same, but at least gives us a little bit of taste of what it means to ask those kind of questions in a fresh way. As you think about where all of this is headed, toward the day when every tribe, tongue, people are gathered around the throne of God singing his praises, what is it going to take in the church to see the fulfillment of that day?
Well, the great thing is that it's not just down to us, even though we have a part to play. We get the invitation and the wonderful privilege of joining God in his work in this world. But it is going to take, I believe, ultimately men and women who are going to really follow Christ regardless of the consequences, that they're going to begin to leverage their lives in ways that maybe start to model a new way of living for their kids, maybe start to create new avenues for others to come and participate in what God wants to do. But it's going to be exciting to witness how God moves in the hearts of people through this event that the world is going through right now. And I'm just prayerful that there is a new alignment inside of our values, perhaps even inside of our worldview and how we view the world, and accept God's invitation to join him in the greatest adventure that this world could possibly offer. And that is hot on the heels of what God is doing and simply joining him in accomplishing just beautiful things and making his name known. And it's really, we get wrapped up in it. It's for our joy and for his glory. And it's a cyclical pattern that gets to repeat over and over and over again. The more joy we have, the more glory God receives, and the more glory he is exalted with, the more joy comes back to us. And it's just the mechanics of God's love that is never ending. And the good thing is that we not only get to experience it in eternity, but we get to start right here on earth with all of the riches and fullness of his life dwelling in us through his power.
All right, I've got to ask you this along those lines. And you talked about how this is just addicting, seeing the people's previously unreached people come to praise God. Can you give us just a snapshot of one story, people group, village? And I know we're being general so as not to get too specific, but of what it took to see the first Christian, the first person to know Christ, or for the first family, the first people to know Christ in that community, what it took to get there, and then what joy came from that. Can you just give us a microcosm, an illustration of what that looks like in action?
Well, many years ago, there was a young girl that my wife and I had the opportunity to come into contact with. And she was at a place in her life, like so many children across the developing world, where really if someone didn't step in and help in just really practical terms, she was very prone to be a victim of human trafficking. She was set on a course to be entirely uneducated the rest of her life, She was suffering in many ways physically, and my wife and I had the opportunity to get involved and just spend time with her. And over the years, as she began to reach her teenage years, she came to a point where she really wanted to follow Christ. And she had heard us talking about what Jesus meant and what he meant to us and how we were wanting to use our lives to make him known. And I think just the Holy Spirit began to bring conviction to her heart about her own state before God. And she came to us and just with her heart open, desired to be included in the family of God. And of course, nothing thrilled my wife and I more than to be able to join hands with her and pray and begin to do whatever we could to lead her into God's word as to what this decision would mean. And I tell you what, a hunger grew in her heart, and she came back for more and more. And we would find her praying on her knees and in the word of God. And it wasn't long after that experience that she came to us with a burden that had grown in her heart. And she all of a sudden had the realization that the forgiveness of her sins that she now received through belief in Jesus Christ, that her family didn't have that same revelation. And it was unconscionable for her to go on another day in life knowing that her family were lost in their sins. And so we did our best to coach her and to help her know how to share who Jesus is. And so she spent some time with her parents and with her other siblings and was able to share this message with them. She was a little timid and shy and needed some encouragement in that process, but God one night powerfully moved and used her life and her words to also bring conviction to her parents. And she was able to explain the scriptures. And one glorious night, they came to Christ. And it was really the first people in the entire people group that she's from that confessed Jesus Christ. And she came back into a school program that we were helping her with. And just days later, after they had come to Christ, her parents, she received the news that they had been martyred for their faith. And here's a young girl who now has a lot of questions. And there's not easy answers for some of those things. And a grief-stricken heart, and of course, emotions that are just filled with hurt and pain and confusion. And the best thing that we knew to do was just get our arms around her and get on our knees and go before the Lord together. And I was curious how this would play out in her heart. It could go one of two ways. She could develop bitterness because of her obedience, in a sense, had in somehow led to her parents no longer being around? Or could God do something miraculous in her heart? And several months passed by, and I remember she came to my wife and I, and she had a small little piece of paper in her hand, and she asked if she could sing a song to us. And I think any parent who is approached by their child who wants to sing a song, you're all ears. And she began to sing a song that God had put in her heart. And it was a worship song. And as she began to open her lips and breathe out this worship, my wife and I first of all, our eyes filled with tears, and we had the realization that this was the first time in her language and in her people group that a worship song had ever come before God. And we had the sense that something so sacred and so beautiful was taking place, and that God had used even this horrible tragedy and this incredibly painful moment to somehow turn it into a sacrifice of praise and fill her, fill us, fill that room with such joy of now a new song is being sung amongst a people group that had never before made their unique tone of worship to God. And I tell you what, that's being repeated in so many places around the world today. And so I just want to encourage those who are watching or listening today, that there is something to live for that is, it's beyond just this earthly realm. We're called to be more than just mere humans. We're called to render ourselves before a master and a king and to live for things that are so heavenly, even with our feet firmly planted in this world. And there is something that we can taste in God and in his presence and in his mission that just can't ever be met in the things of this world. And so I just want to encourage all of us, let's set our affections on things that are above, not on things in this world. And I think the result is going to be men and women across this planet that are going to begin to say, God, I will obey you regardless of the consequences, because there's something more than just this world. There's something in eternity that I want to live for.
May that be so. And may the fruit of that prayer, even that you just spoke, and I want to ask you to lead us in prayer in just a moment, but may the fruit of what you just said and people who are listening to this right now, may the fruit of this be more precious, girls like the one you just mentioned, boys, moms, dads, knowing, enjoying, worshiping God among all the peoples of the world. That's what church exists for. It's what Radical wants to come alongside and help the church do, especially through this new initiative in Urgent, which, by the way, we've been talking about that. Anybody who wants more information about how you can be involved in what is happening on the front lines, go to radical.net and the new radical.net, where we're stepping in to this picture. But I want to ask you to pray for us, just in our lives in general, and then all the more so in light of this pandemic, that we would indeed live for a global purpose, and that we would work together as the body of Christ around the world, particularly with brothers and sisters in Christ, where there is such urgent need and so many barriers to the gospel, that God would bless our partnership together for the spread of his glory in those places. Would you pray for us?
Yeah. Well, Father, we come before you right now. We thank you that we have entrance into your presence by something that is greater than ourselves, but it's our risen Savior who has opened up a new and living way into your presence. And there, Father, we can come with boldness and with confidence. Father, I just want to come before you right now and first of all, thank you. Thank you for hearing the cries of the afflicted. Thank you for hearing our heart cry. And for those that are around the world right now who are suffering, maybe they're in a place where they've lost their job. Maybe they're in a developing country where they don't know what is going to happen tomorrow or how our food is going to get on the table for their family. Father, you hear all of that. We trust in your ability to God to to bend down low and bring answers that are straight from you. We thank you for what you're already doing, God, to move hearts, even in this time we've shared on this call, that you're going to begin to rearrange priorities in our lives. We're going to begin to change our conversations, the way we look at life, and the way we order our steps in this world. Father, there is an invitation by you to come up higher, to live for things that are eternal. And Father, I would pray here that the people that are joining us in this prayer right now, that you would do something so grand, so glorious in every single heart, that you would draw us to yourself. And Father, let us taste of something that is not of this world, and reject the things that have gotten in our way and the things that have weighed us down, the things that have so easily beset us in this race of life. And let us cast our vision upon a Savior that is mighty, who's able to save to the uttermost, who is the captain of our lives and will lead us down paths, God, for your glory and for your namesake. Father, take our individual small offerings as we lay them on the altar as our reasonable service before you. Take those, and God, make something glorious out of our lives as we yield ourselves to your purposes. Thank you for inviting us into your mission. Thank you that you have cared enough for us, that you are beckoning us down a path, God, that is filled with, yes, risk, yes, sometimes with peril and adversity, but God, it is at the center of your will and your purposes, and in that, God, we find all that we need in you for this life. Thank you for what you're doing in hearts across our nation, across this world, to bring us into fellowship with you and make your name great. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. May that all be so. Conrad, brother, thank you for, I know it's the middle of the night where you are. I am amazed by God's grace at the connection we've been able to have remotely, pretty much uninterrupted this whole time. I want you and your family to know, certainly on my behalf, and Heather and me, but on behalf of others who will listen to this, we praise God for his grace in you. You are not alone. We pray that God will continue to bless your work right where you are and in all that you're doing, leading out in urgent with radical. So let me encourage those who are listening, if you want to be a part of coming alongside brothers and sisters on the front line, so indigenous laborers giving their lives for the spread of the gospel around the world, particularly in places of urgent spiritual and physical need, go to radical.net. You can find out all the information there. So radical.net, and you'll find out information about urgent. So thanks for making this time, regardless of how this plays out in your life. May you play the role God has called you to play in the greatest purpose in the world, the proclamation of his glory and his grace to all the peoples of the earth.